Hallo zusammen zu Irisch Gut, zu den Stories und Tipps von der Grünen Insel. Das hier ist Folge Nummer 31 und in der schauen wir vorbei im wahrscheinlich spektakulärsten Museum der kompletten Insel. In Belfast, im Titanic Belfast. Das ist neulich mit viel Geld, Zeit und Liebe zum Detail restauriert worden und ist jetzt noch grandioser, als es eh schon war. Wir schauen uns das heute an und wir treffen eine Frau, deren Urgroßvater als Crewmitglied auf der ersten und letzten Fahrt der Titanic dabei war.
He was an engineer and he was posted on Titanic and he must have been very excited, you know, to be on board this wonderful big ship and to be setting out on a new adventure. But, of course, being one of the crew, it did not end well for him. He lost his life. So it changed the course of my family's history, for sure.
Susie Miller ist Vorsitzende der Titanic Belfast Society. Sie bietet außerdem Touren an, rund um die Titanic. Und sie weiß alles über das berühmteste Schiff der Welt, das dort gebaut wurde, wo jetzt das Museum steht. Und ein bisschen was erzählt sie gleich, wenn wir gemeinsam das Titanic Belfast besuchen. Und ich kann euch versprechen, das ist heute eine Podcast-Folge, bei der ihr alle Gänsehaut bekommen werdet.
Irisch gut. Stories und Tipps von der Grünen Insel.
Ich glaube, die Story der Titanic kennt ihr alle, oder? Nochmal schnell das Wichtigste. Das damals größte Schiff der Welt wurde in der damals berühmtesten Werft der Welt gebaut, bei Harland & Wolff in Belfast. Auf ihre erste und gleichzeitig letzte Reise ging die Titanic am 10. April 1912. 4 Tage später, am 14. April, kollidierte sie vor Neufundland mit einem Eisberg und sank. 1514 Menschen sind dabei ums Leben gekommen. Bevor das Schiff auf Jungfernfahrt gehen konnte, hatten 15.000 Arbeiter es 4 Jahre lang gebaut. Die sind also jeden Morgen aus Belfast raus, rüber zur Werft gelaufen und abends wieder zurück. Das Schiff, das da bei Harland & Wolff entstand, gehörte für ein paar Jahre tatsächlich zu Belfast. Und irgendwie ist das bis heute so geblieben. Das alles kann man im Museum miterleben, und zwar von der allerersten Skizze an. Man geht da rein und wird quasi wie in einer Zeitmaschine zurückversetzt in jene Jahre, in denen die Menschen in Belfast voller Staunen hinüber zur Werft geschaut haben, in der dieser riesige Ozeandampfer größer und größer wurde. Und die haben natürlich nicht nur geschaut, 15.000 haben ja da gearbeitet an der Titanic. Und wer nicht selbst da geackert hat, der kannte garantiert jemanden, der das tat. Im Grunde war das damals so, als habe die ganze Stadt dieses schwimmende Wunder mitbauen dürfen. Und einer von diesen Leuten war Susie Millers Urgroßvater Thomas Miller.
He was an engineer and he probably would have continued with his job in Belfast. Except that in early 1912 his wife died and he decided he wanted a different future for him and his two sons. So he left Harland & Wolff and he signed up with the White Star Line to be a seagoing engineer and he was posted on Titanic.
Da wollte also jemand eine andere Zukunft für sich und seine beiden Söhne. Deswegen hat Susie Millers Urgroßvater damals also den Arbeitgeber gewechselt und arbeitete nun für die White Star Line, also jene Gesellschaft, unter deren Flagge die Titanic dann bald in See stechen würde.
His plan was that he was going to sail to New York and then establish a home for himself there. Still work for the White Star Line, but just based in New York rather than on this side of the Atlantic. And when the time was right, he was going to come and get his two sons and bring them to be with him again. So his position on Titanic was assistant deck engineer. And that means that he would have been responsible for mechanical things up on deck level, things like winches and cranes and the lifeboat mechanisms. The gym equipment in Titanic would have been one of his remits as well. So he was a skilled engineer and learning all the time. He had already done one voyage by the time he was on Titanic. He'd worked for another ship. And he must have been very excited, you know, to be on board this wonderful big ship and to be setting out on a new adventure. But, of course, being one of the crew, it did not end well for him. He lost his life on Titanic and left my grandfather and his brother as orphans at a very young age. So it changed the course of my family's history, for sure.
Boah, harter Stoff, oder? Leute wie Thomas Miller lernt man viele kennen, wenn man durch die Ausstellung läuft. Das war damals ja die Zeit, in der die Fotografie aufgekommen ist und in der auch schon erste Filmclips gedreht wurden. Und davon gibt es ganz viele. Manchmal sind die bloß ganz klein und man muss ganz nah rangehen, um zu erkennen, was da zu sehen ist und wer da drauf ist. Manchmal werden die im Museum aber auch auf wandhohen Screens gezeigt. Leute, die am Schiff arbeiten, Leute, die ihnen aus der Ferne dabei zusehen und dann irgendwann Leute und Familien, die Goodbye winken, als die Titanic dann endlich ausläuft.
My grandfather, who was only five at the time in 1912, he paid very close attention to everything that was going on at the time, and he listened to what his father said, and then he wrote it down. So it was published in the 1930s as a little autobiographical short story of this child whose father goes off on Titanic. And he talks about how his father, before he departed on Titanic, gave him and his brother two new pennies, each 1912 dated pennies. And he said, don't spend those until we're all reunited. So my grandfather remembers having those coins pushed into his hand just before his father boarded Titanic. And he describes how later that evening he watched the ship sail down Belfast Lough and out of sight, and how he was clutching those pennies in his hand very, very tightly. And, of course, his father didn't come back. You know, he was never to be reunited with his father. And so he kept those two pennies all of his life. And they've been passed down through the generations and they're still within the family today.
Zwei Pennies, die Susi Millers Urgroßvater seinen beiden kleinen Söhnen zum Abschied in die Hand gedrückt hat. Passt gut auf die auf, ausgeben dürft ihr die erst, wenn wir alle wieder zusammen sind. Ich weiß nicht, wie es euch geht, aber mir ist es eiskalt den Rücken runtergelaufen, als Susi Miller mir diese Story erzählt hat. Und dass die Familie die beiden Pennies immer noch besitzt, was ist das für eine Geschichte?
So, you know, not only do we have that physical thing that Tommy Miller left behind, we also have the stories that go with it and my grandfather's memories of it, which are preserved, yeah. I feel incredibly lucky to have that level of detail of a Titanic story. Yeah. You know, there's lots of people who can talk about in this city, oh, my great-grandfather worked on it, you know, he helped to build it. But our story goes that wee bit deeper, I think.
Yeah. Is that family story the reason you're interested in the Titanic? Or even would you have been interested without having this family background with the ship?
I think I would have been interested anyway, but the fact that we have this family connection has really made it such a central part of my life over the past 15 years or so, when I decided to start taking people around and showing them the sites that were relevant, not only to Titanic, but to our family. At that time, back in 2008, there was nothing here. You know, there was no Titanic Belfast. The slipways were lying in rubble. You had to climb over fences to get to various places to show people. But it didn't detract from its authenticity at all. You know, it was still standing in the place where Titanic was built. So it was as authentic as you can get. I think I would have been drawn to it whether I had a family connection or not. Yeah, I think so.
Das war ein guter Punkt da gerade. Man läuft zwar durch eine absolut großartige Ausstellung in einem absolut großartigen Gebäude, dessen Form übrigens aussieht wie ein Schiffsbug und je nach Blickwinkel von außen gleichzeitig wie ein Eisberg. Also das ist absolut fantastisch gemacht. Man bekommt während seiner Zeit dort aber immer wieder klar gemacht, das war hier. Das war hier an dieser Stelle. Du läufst gerade an dem Ort herum, an dem dieses Schiff tatsächlich gebaut worden ist. Hier war das. Hier ist das passiert. Hier lag die Titanic, bevor sie zu ihrer ersten und einzigen Reise aufgebrochen ist.
I would encourage anyone to come and see it, go through the galleries as they were, and then suddenly you're confronted with this huge model of Titanic. It's about 20 feet long, and it's suspended from the ceiling, and it's spinning around, and it lights up in different colours as we go through the story of Titanic from construction to lying at the bottom of the ocean. And all the while you have this wonderful music playing, a lot of violin within it. And it's just so moving and so extremely well done, extremely impressive. And it's a story over about 10 minutes from construction to its loss. It's just so incredibly well done. And it brings home to you that it's the story of people. You know, you have these faces which appear and then dissolve around a panoramic theatre screen.
Das, was Susie Miller da beschrieben hat, das ist der neue Teil des Titanic Belfast. Wenn ihr da angelangt seid, dann habt ihr schon den Eindruck, den kompletten Bau des Schiffs miterlebt zu haben. Das ist derart gut gemacht, dass ihr tatsächlich glaubt, von Anfang an dabei gewesen zu sein. Und dann kommt ihr in diesen neuen Raum, in dem dieses irre Modell des Schiffs von der Decke hängt. An den Wänden drumherum gibt es 360-Grad-Projektionen von alten Filmen und Grafiken, die das ganze Leben, also die ganze Entstehungsgeschichte des Schiffs noch einmal zeigen. Von den ersten Zeichnungen an bis zu dem Moment, in dem die Titanic auf den Meeresboden sinkt. Und das ist dann irgendwie so ein bisschen, als hättet ihr euer eigenes Schiff verloren. Und was noch wichtiger ist, in diesem neuen Teil der Ausstellung wird einem mehr als irgendwo sonst bewusst, dass da nicht nur ein Schiff gesunken ist, sondern dass es 1514 Menschen mit in die Tiefe genommen hat.
You just are reminded that of course it's the story of a ship, but more importantly it's the story of people.
I just wanted to say that. Yeah, we are all talking about the Titanic all the time, but this is just the hull if it comes to all the, I don't know, 2,000?
2,200 were on it, yes, okay. about 1,500 were lost.
Their families, they all have their lives.
Yes, you know, from this part of the world, from in particular the sort of rural parts of Ireland, there were so many people on board as third class, one-way passengers. They were heading out to new lives in the US and in Canada, with having sold up everything they owned, really, to be able to afford the passage. And of no idea what was ahead of them. Some of those women survived and had a terribly difficult time, you know, without their menfolk to take care of them and to try to get jobs when they arrived in places like New York or onwards to other US cities. But that's a story that really didn't get told for a long time, was of the immigrants who were on board the ship and who were less likely, let's say, than the first or second class to be able to get a place in a lifeboat, just because of the geography of the ship, where, you know, where they were when things started to go wrong. You know, you hear all these rumors and stuff about people being locked in and deliberately locked below. That's not the case. You know, they were just in a place in the lower decks of the ship, which would naturally have been cordoned off because that's the way they did it then. So it just took them longer to figure their way out up to the boat deck where the lifeboats were being launched. So, you know, so many great stories within those classes, rather than, you know, concentrating on the Astors and the Guggenheims of the world, the well-trodden tales there.
Das war ja tatsächlich so. Die Schlagzeilen haben damals ja die Reichen gemacht und die Berühmten, die auf der Titanic waren. Die allermeisten Passagiere aber waren ja ganz einfache Leute, irische Auswanderer, Menschen, die über Jahre Penny für Penny gespart hatten, um sich ein One-Way-Ticket in der dritten Klasse leisten zu können. Ebenfalls neu im Titanic Belfast sind Ausstellungsstücke, die ganz eng mit der Geschichte des Schiffs verbunden sind. Man kann da zum Beispiel eine Geige sehen.
Titanic had its own band, a group of musicians who would have played together quite often. They were hired in from a company based in Liverpool. And the leader of the band was Wallace Hartley. They were dismissed. You know, Wallace said to his comrades, okay, we've done enough. You're free to go and take your chances. But he continued to play on, and his comrades naturally gravitated back to him, and they continued to play until the end. Various tales are cited as to what they were playing. Some say it was Nearer, My God, to Thee, the hymn. Some say it was ragtime music. Maybe it was a mixture of both over the closing minutes. But anyway, a few years ago, a violin came up for auction, which belonged to Wallace Hartley. And it is believed to have been strapped to his body in a case when his body was discovered and brought ashore to Halifax, Nova Scotia in Canada. And the person who bought it has kindly loaned it to Titanic Belfast for this significant amount of time so that people can see it.
Yeah.
You know, there's always been a little bit of doubt. Was it, okay, it's Wallace Hartley's violin, but was it with him on Titanic?
Yeah.
But let's just say for the sake of argument that it was, you know, because the story behind it is so good.
Und alles andere würde ja auch nicht zum irischen Fable für gutes Storytelling passen. Kurzer Hinweis an der Stelle von mir, es gibt einen wunderbaren Roman über diesen ersten Geiger, über diesen Wallace Hartley und das Bordorchester, das auf der Titanic gespielt hat und in dem die Lebenslinien der einzelnen Musiker nachvollzogen werden und wie die am Ende auf dieses Schiff gekommen sind. Choral am Ende der Reise heißt das Buch, geschrieben hat's Erik Fosnes Hansen und es ist ein ganz toller Roman über Zufälle im Leben und über die Macht des Schicksals. Zurück zu unserer besonderen Besucherattraktion und zur Titanic. Was viele Leute nicht wissen, die ist damals nicht mit ihren über 2000 Passagieren von Belfast aus Richtung Amerika gefahren. Als die Titanic Belfast verlassen hat, waren die Passagiere noch gar nicht an Bord. Die sind erst später zugestiegen.
When she leaves Belfast, she didn't have any passengers on board. It was just some of the crew and a group of men called the Guarantee Group, who were from Harland and Wolff, from the builders. And they were on board to make sure that everything ran smoothly, to make little tweaks, whatever. So once she goes out of Belfast, she goes to Southampton and she spends about a week there to be loaded up with all the provisions and the coal for the journey. So then passengers start to join in Southampton and then also across the channel in Cherbourg. So she goes across to Cherbourg, picks up more passengers, and then her final stop is in what was then called Queenstown. We now call it Cove, C-O-B-H, the Irish spelling, where the rest of the passengers joined and the mail, and off she went.
And the lucky ones disembarked.
Yes. There were one, he didn't think he was lucky at the time, the man who took the photographs, a man called Father Frank Brown. And he had taken photographs from Southampton onwards of those couple of days at sea. of some of the crew and some of the passengers. And he was given the chance to stay on board. A family that he had befriended said, "Oh, we'll pay your fare to New York and you can stay with us." But his bishop, who was also his uncle, said, "No, get you back here, you've work to do." And so he very reluctantly got off in Cove with all of those photographs and his camera. So those few days of Titanic at sea are preserved on film for us through Frank Brown's lens.
Boah, das ist noch so eine krasse Geschichte, oder? Alle Fotos, die wir von Bord der Titanic haben und die man im Titanic Belfast sehen kann, die stammen von einem Mann, der liebend gerne weiter mitgefahren wäre, dessen Chef ihn aber von Bord beordert hat. Ha, die Zufälle im Leben und die Macht des Schicksals. Von diesen Geschichten gibt es Hunderte, sagt Susie Miller. Deswegen könne man sich auch ein ganzes Leben lang mit der Titanic beschäftigen und finde trotzdem immer noch neue.
Titanic is a story that keeps giving and it attracts young folk to it. You know, I go into schools to talk about Titanic to young ones who are, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and the fascination levels they have is just amazing. You know, they can't get enough of it. And they each, you know, pick their little thing that fascinates them. You know, should it be the animals that were on board, the dogs, or should it be a particular character or the captain, or how it was built? You know, they each hone in on something that really grabs their imagination.
Ein Schiff, das vor über 100 Jahren im Atlantik versunken ist und das die Menschen bis heute fasziniert. Und das ganz nebenbei bemerkt, Belfast, also die Stadt, auf die Bucketlist vieler Leute auf der ganzen Welt gesetzt hat.
Here in Northern Ireland, we didn't have a tourism industry when I was growing up. People were a little bit hesitant to come to Belfast because of everything else that was going on up even into the 2000s. But we had this opportunity with the 100th anniversary of Titanic's leaving Belfast and then her sinking to build something to attract a worldwide tourist audience. And that's what we did. And it really has had a huge impact in the tourist industry. Most people will try and make a stop at Titanic Belfast as a reason to come to visit the wider city. But I would say that, you know, 70%, maybe more, of people have it on their itinerary when they're coming up north to see what's up here. It's been such a success, and, you know, people, I think, are delighted by what they find here. All of a sudden, they were starting to think, "Oh, I wonder what Belfast's like. Well, maybe we'll head over there for a couple of days and check it out." And Titanic Belfast was at the top of their list.
Also, wenn ihr in der Nähe seid oder wenn ihr Pläne macht für eure nächste Irlandreise, setzt Belfast auf eure Liste und setzt vor allem das Titanic Belfast auf eure Liste und vielleicht ja auch eine Tour mit Susie Miller. Und vielleicht hat sie ja die beiden Pennies bei sich und zeigt sie euch. Die beiden Pennies, die ihr Urgroßvater, ihrem Großvater und dessen Bruder gegeben hat, am Tag, als er mit der Titanic in ein neues Leben aufgebrochen ist und in ein anderes Land, in dem er nie ankam.
Irisch gut. Stories und Tipps von der Grünen Insel.
Das war Folge 31 von Irisch Gut, von den Stories und Tipps von der Grünen Insel. Wir haben auch dieses Mal wieder viele Links in die Shownotes gepackt. Da findet ihr alles, was ihr zum Titanic Belfast wissen müsst. Alle Folgen von Irisch Gut gibt's auf dem YouTube-Kanal von Entdecke Irland und natürlich auch bei Spotify, Apple Music und all den anderen. Ich bin übrigens Stefan Henk und ich hoffe, euch hat die Folge heute gefallen. Vielleicht seid ihr ja dann auch beim nächsten Mal wieder mit dabei. Cheers und bis ganz bald.